Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
As I joked before, somehow in the next few minutes I'm going to cram in, I believe, in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Bearing in mind that people have written reams of books on any one of these lines, but there you go. I was pondering as I prepared that I'm only human seems to be an acceptable response in today's society, and for whatever reason. But it does tell us one thing. It tells us that actually we do understand at our very core that we are flawed. Whether we choose to follow Jesus or not, the fact that we do make mistakes seems to be out there when we say, I'm only human. Now we are, of course, wonderful creations, capable of beauty, capable of art, capable of sacrificial love. And yet we know that we're also capable of much that does not express love. And we see that around our world, not just in our own lives. And these creeds that we've been looking at over the last few months, they express what we believe in terms of our Lord. And once more today, as we complete our time together, I will expand only a little the words, I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Now, thankfully, there are theologians out there who have done this much better than I have over much more time than I've got this morning. I don't know if you know this chap, Graham Tomlin. He's a well-known English theologian. I think he certainly lives in England anyway. And he wrote this in a compendium about the creed. He wrote this about the three lines that we've just read. He calls them shadows. He says the first is the shadow that the Bible calls sin. A crime not just against the people that we hurt with our selfishness, but against the God whose image we all bear. Second, he says, there's a shadow of death. So we've got sin and then death. The one thing that can be said for sure about the future is that one day we are all destined to die. Happy chap, isn't he? The third shadow is the question of direction. So we've got sin, death and direction. Many people struggle with a lack of purpose, he says, not knowing where they're going in this life or the next. Does it all end in life or in death? In heaven or hell? I think actually, as we come to the end of our creed, is it possible that the last three lines actually hold the answers that so many people are looking towards? About sin, death and direction. And we've only got a short time, I keep saying, so let's crack on into the first of those. The forgiveness of sins. Jesus died for you. You will hear come out of my mouth almost every week, won't you? If not every day. The first thing I want to say to someone who I met first meet is, did you know that Jesus died for you? My dear friend David Brown would always say to me, do you know Jesus? When I was wearing a dog collar. He wanted to say, do you really know Jesus? Did you know that Jesus died for you? But what does it really mean? What does it mean? What happened on the cross? If you like the technical words, what does the atonement mean? Now, I'm not going to cover that in the next few moments. But it means, what actually happened when Jesus died on the cross? That is the question. Now, St. Paul, not long after Jesus died, says this. He says, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He's saying, we will find out what happened on the cross in this collection of books. But of course, the Scriptures for St. Paul at the time were what we call the Old Testament. Christ died for our sins according to the Old Testament. The story there, the story from the beginning of love and care, of seeking us, of looking out for us. And perhaps, I wonder if it's true, but I suspect it is, perhaps Isaiah 53 that we heard read so well by that young lady is one of the scriptures he was thinking of. It speaks of an anointed one who would come, that would live a sinless life and suffer much for God's people. Pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that was brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. The old-fashioned way of saying, by his stripes we are healed. We are all like sheep, have gone astray. Anyone else made a mistake this morning? Checking with Susie, she's got a list of mine. We are all like sheep and have gone astray. Each of us turned our own way. You've never relied just on yourself, have you? And the Lord has laid his iniquity. The Lord has laid all of this, all of our stuff, on Jesus. In the short time that we've got together, that's all I can say about it. Maybe we'll expand a bit more on the different options of what might have happened on the cross later next year. But the fact that that happened, that you are forgiven for the mistakes and the sins and the deliberate things that you do sometimes, and I do. You remember that when I'm pointing a finger at you, there's four coming back at me, yeah? Jesus died for them, that we might be forgiven, that we might know God. But my question is, of course, what difference does that make tomorrow? What difference does the fact that the servant, the anointed one, Jesus, God himself, hung upon the cross for us tomorrow? When you stand in front of someone, and I stand in front of someone and want to be selfish or want to be greedy or respond in a way that doesn't express the love that God has for them, what difference does that make tomorrow? Because if our words don't turn into action, why did Jesus die? If we don't just move from hearing into action, why did Jesus die? I wonder, even right now, if God's Spirit is speaking to us all. Is there anything in your life that God is saying, I love you? This stuff over here, time to move on from it. Or is there any chance that God has put a person in your mind and your heart and said, time to patch it up? Or at least offer. You aren't responsible for the outcome. You and I are responsible for making the move to overcome the shadow of sin. Because we believe in the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection of the body. That's our second shadow. Death. Reflected in any number of pithy statements. Perhaps the most famous is supposed to have come from Benjamin Franklin. Nothing is certain except death and taxes. I don't know if it did come from Benjamin Franklin, but it's credited to him. The shadow of death. Except, of course, we have a different story. The Christian hope offered is that death is defeated by Jesus. Not just on the cross, but the risen Jesus 3 days later. He defeated death. That's what we're declaring when we say our creed. But if that's not enough for us, there is more to be had. Because we don't just celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus. I believe in the resurrection of the body of Jesus, but I also believe in the resurrection of my body, of your body. That's what we're saying in the creed. We're saying those famous words from Paul, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? But what difference does that make tomorrow? How does the fact that the person that you interact with tomorrow, if they know the love of Jesus, will rise again with you? How does that impact the urgency to tell them about Jesus? How does that impact the urgency to invite them along? There is nothing greater than to know the love of Jesus. There are people who are on the streets and yet know the love of Jesus. And I'm not belittling their situation, but they are the richest people in the world. And yet there are men and women in mansions who are poor. And we'll come on to a little bit about that later on, maybe. Because we believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting, which is our last shadow direction. Because all of this actually is distilled down into this one thing. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, also believe in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." As I've already said, we are resurrected people. But the question is, resurrected to what? Traditionally, we've called that heaven. But our pictures of heaven and hell, of chubby baby angel wings and of flames burning, actually come more from dodgy religious art in the past, and actually Dante's Inferno, than they do from the books in this collection. The Bible itself actually doesn't, in terms of percentage wise, doesn't talk a great deal about what this future heaven might be, and Jesus talks even less about it, but there are some insights in there. Let me read to you from Revelation. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" As I read through my Bible, it's my observation that the words translated from Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic into heaven, our English word heaven, talk more about two things. The physical sky, it's raining from the heavens, and the place where God currently dwells. What it doesn't seem to suggest, this is going to rock your world, some of you, but what it doesn't seem to suggest is that heaven is a place that we go to. Hold on, we'll get there. Don't panic about this. Maybe what it might suggest is that heaven is a transitional place. And I'm not talking about the false doctrine of purgatory, forget that. But it might be a sort of place that within the blink of an eye, we pass through to our ultimate destination. To live with God. That's what we've just read, isn't it? This doesn't come from me. This has come from studies of the scripture by greater minds than mine. Perhaps what I believe to be the greatest living theologian at the moment is not John Mark Comer, which you thought it was going to be, but N.T. Wright. And he says this, and he's written many books. As a hint, if you're going to read from N.T. Wright, and you don't like difficult books to read the books where he says he's Tom Wright. So when he's Tom Wright, he's easier to read than he is when he's N.T. Wright. He's an ex-bishop and theologian. He says this, in a book that Susie had been reading to me in the morning, because Susie reads in the morning, I sit there and drink the coffee. In a book that Susie had been reading to me in the morning, at the end he says this, "Despite what many people think, we're in the Christian family and outside of it, the point of it all is not to go to heaven when you die. The New Testament picks up from the Old Testament's theme that God intends, in the end, to put the whole creation to rights, earth and heaven. And he continues on, the great drama will not end with saved souls being snatched up into heaven, like some famous films have suggested, away from the wicked earth and the mortal bodies, which have been dragged down into sin, that with the new Jerusalem, which we've just read, coming down from heaven to earth, so that the dwelling of God is with humans. We get to be and live with God, just as it was in the beginning. You go back to the beginning of the New Bibles, just as it was then, it ends that way as well. Our destination is to be with God in a world, I would suggest, that is remarkably similar to the one that we know now. These are all illusions, and Revelation and other areas are all illusions that we can only make so much of. Because it doesn't really matter. We trust God who loves us. And where priests have said one thing over the centuries and got it wrong, and another thing over the centuries and got it wrong, and some have got it right, is that the area we should be focusing on? When the apostle James and John come and basically say that, Jesus suggests you're asking the wrong question. Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory, they say. Jesus spends a bit of time putting them right and then moves on to do some proper teaching. Gathers his disciples and he says this, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He's saying that life everlasting is not the ultimate destination. That's not the goal. It's not a destination we call heaven. That's not what we're here for. That may come, that will come. The destination is not a place called heaven, but a journey called the kingdom of God. A journey that we know already because we've talked about it here before, but we can begin to see the results of right now. What difference does that make tomorrow? It makes every difference. Knowing that actually what we do now, that our destination, that our journey that is happening now, makes all the difference of what we do tomorrow. Or as a certain gladiator who quoted the Roman emperor and Stoic philosopher Marcus Aurelius would have it, what we do now echoes in eternity. They got some things right in that film. Indeed, if we believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, if we believe in Jesus who came for the salvation of the whole world, then tomorrow matters. If you want to say, I'm only human, then being only a human who seeks Jesus means we will treat one another and other humans with love. We will treat them as though they're wonderfully, beautifully made creations of love. We will treat all other humans as if they are sons and daughters of God. Because that's what they are. Amen.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.